Hello and welcome to the podcast of Lotus Eaters for today, the 9th of February 2023. I am rejoined by the delightful Dominique Samuels. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Dominique will be on GB News tonight at 9 o'clock,
yes,
correct? There correct. We go. So you can see her regularly scheduled programming either there or on your Twitter. Today we're going to be chatting about how the Grammys are satanic, because everyone else has, but I think we've got a bit of a unique angle on it. Yeah. The world's biggest welfare queen, who graced us with his presence yesterday, and birthing corpses. Because you have to be very progressive for trans rights. Before we kick it off, at 3:30 today, we have Hangout 31, the fifth part of our Cyberpunk Dystopia series, which Callum and Carl have been doing, documenting our descent into hell. And then tomorrow, at 3:30, Bo and I are going to be doing our spontaneous second half of our Animal Farm book club, because we ended up wittering on so long last time that we had to cut it into two. But very exciting stuff. Go and watch the first one. Fiver a month, you get access to all of our content, and you can put some comments in. Without further ado, let's jump straight into the stories, shall we? So, remember when we all thought that Alex Jones's proclamations that all of the celebrities are literal demons that want to eat babies? And we thought, oh, what a goofy guy, he's just being hyperbolic. Oh, those were the days. What happened was they just started saying it in front of cameras, dancing around, shaking their backside, literally twerking it to Satan. Let's look at all the Batman villains and Baphomet worshippers that were at the Grammys this week, all right? So, if you'd like to learn more about how most of our celebrity culture is satanic, you can subscribe to the website for £5 a month and watch content like Harry and my podcast on the politics of Mulholland Drive. I didn't get it. I really didn't get it, but Harry did, and he made a brilliant explanation. Have you ever watched this film?
Never. Devil's Den.
Yes. It is David Lynch calling the whistle on what would essentially become Me Too and Harvey Weinstein about 15 years ahead of time.
Oh, that's what we call predictive programming.
Yes, and he also implicates the women in sustaining the system itself, and ever since the 1930s, including all the progressive Hollywood starlets that were really against imperialism but were selling off their sisters to be exploited by blokes to get on screen.
Oh, right. Oh, there's sort of a conspiracy theory about that, you know, but like, I don't know if I'm allowed to...
Is it going to break YouTube TOS?
I'm not sure. Just this, you know, allegation about, you know, MK Ultra on female celebrities.
I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked in the slightest. As Ted Kaczynski was also involved in that. Also in here, I did mention the sort of corrosive effect of California culture, and I used The Weeknd's lyrics going from Cali is the mission to now a African-American gentleman is leaving. Keep that in mind, because we'll be talking about The Weeknd later on.
Yeah.
But on to the first link. So recently, Taylor Swift, who was obviously Stefan Molyneux, got famous for saying the worst tweet of all time, saying that, well, Taylor Swift's nearly 30 and half of her eggs are gone. She should probably hurry up and stop being a feminist, because she'll be a great mother. She's now saying, doubling down, that she's a pro-LGBT and pro-abortion brand of Christianity is the real Christianity.
That's just a fallacy, though, isn't it?
We're not according to the Church of England, of course.
Oh, yeah, the Church of England. I mean, anyone would be forgiven for thinking that Justin Welby actually doesn't like God very much. Mm. If you look at the trends, this seems like a person who genuinely does not like God.
Yeah, deliberate subversive.
Yeah, there's no other explanation for it.
Yeah, well, this is very much a Trojan horse, because she is obviously trying to supplant Christian ethics, the kind of things that you see celebrated in the country music circles, with the new progressive paradigm of sacrificing all responsibility by sacrificing your children, and celebrating, rather than virtue, literal vice with pride parades. But let's see the kind of people who abide by these values. Let's scroll down through these Grammys 2023 costumes, John, please.
Gosh.
So, Major Tom Daly there in a spacesuit is actually somehow the least egregious.
Yeah, I think he actually looks quite funky.
I wouldn't say funky. He does look like he's wrapped in the tinfoil that we're making our hats out of these days. Harry Styles on the far left, matches up politically, is wearing something that looks like that weird elephant in a kid's book.
He's just trying to float this idea that he's a gay man, I guess, because...
Didn't he do... So Rory told me off air, he did a film recently about a police officer, and he was co-starring as a policeman who marries a woman so he can have a gay affair and not get prosecuted for it. And the co-star was a gay man. So he's just snogging a gay man for the entirety of the film, but still claiming he's straight.
It's just like, I mean, I think he is straight, but I think he is playing to, I think he's playing to this whole idea of sort of subverting masculinity. And he obviously does it very well in that really ridiculous costume. It's such a shame, really, because he's really handsome, actually. Yeah. And he's just ruined it. He's ruined himself.
Right. He's tattooed himself like Jared Leto's Joker. Also,
I don't mind tattoos. I think they're all right. I have a tattoo.
Yeah, but he looks like, I don't know, it looks like a bathroom wall, and he's also got the tiles to go with it. He is dressed like a Weatherspoon's carpet. I drew the esoteric comparison on Twitter to Crazy Quilt, which was a Batman villain from the Silver Age, and we both said, isn't it coincidental that his superpower is mind control?
Exactly. Which is sort of what these demons are about, because the prime example being Sam Smith, the demonic pimp, is what I got from that. With the
pimping makes me queasy, yeah.
With the pimp stick. Yeah. Odd.
If we can scroll down, John, I think there's a couple more in here, but just, I really don't understand. It's not the Met Gala, but everything's becoming more and more egregious.
Yeah, I think the theme for this genuinely was, I mean, to be a demon, I guess, because these aren't the first ones that have dressed really bizarrely. They look kind of normal. She looks normal, but these aren't like Hollywood elite-y people.
No, well, someone who is obviously playing a crystal flute recently by one of the founding fathers of America is Lizzo. If we can go to this one, she's dressed up looking like an Axon from the original Doctor Who. It's meant to be some sort of floral gown, but she she looks like the remnants of a time of the month, to put it crudely.
Oh right, okay. I mean,
It's not. It's not the most flattering of adornments.
No,
is it?
She just looks like a giant red ball.
She looks like she's being born.
But this is fashion, though, Connor. Like, don't critique it. This is art. You know, it doesn't have any meaning. There's no symbolism. Yeah. It's just art.
Yes.
Leave them alone.
It's just self-expression. You just happen to be expressing yourself as a demonic entity.
Right.
Then, speaking of demonic entities, we also have Madonna, who...
Oh, gosh. Let's not even get started on her.
Oh, apparently, well, we're going to have to, unfortunately. Look, just...
What has she done to her face?
She looks like the Bogdanov brothers. You know when people, like Macaulay Culkin and my girl, you know people get stung to death by bees?
Yeah.
And they just start to...
That's how she looks, yeah. It's all the surgery that she's injecting in her face. Like, I just want to say to Madonna, like, please, can you just let yourself grow old?
It's like Helen Mirren.
Yeah, what is wrong with growing old? Well, there's nothing wrong with it.
She's slowly turning into Miss Trunchbull.
Yeah, her face looks like it's going to explode in that weird suit. I mean...
She does look like a corpse that's been dredged out of the river. It's unsettling. But she's always been someone deeply subversive.
Yeah. This is the thing, right? Because whenever... I mean, I was pointing this out about the sort of symbolism and the degeneracy that they engage in. And a lot of the responses were saying, oh, but, you know, this celebrity has done that. Look at this music video from a decade ago. And it's like, do you realise you're actually furthering my point?
Yes.
Which is that satanic symbolism in Hollywood is rife and it has been for quite a while. It's only now, as the boundaries are continually being pushed, that it's actually getting more brazen. They're getting more confident with it. Now they actually don't even need to hide it. We all just clap like seals and like, oh, it's art. It's not art. It actually has an effect on the mind. And that's something that so many people don't realise, and it's dangerous.
I think the peak of egregiousness was going to be Little Nas X giving a lap dance to Satan and putting his blood in the heel of Nikes. But the Grammys are actually attended by Jill Biden. So you've got the president's wife watching a bunch of trans and non-binary Satanists cavorting on stage.
Yeah.
Sponsored by some interesting people, which we'll see
Hollywood
shortly.
Basically works for the Democrats, so.
Oh,
I'm not surprised.
Obviously. Yeah, so just to continue the flattery of Madonna, if we can go to the next, please. Someone just decided to do a fantastic comparison between her and Pennywise, which...
That's how she genuinely does look.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking to someone about it, and it almost gives, like, post-human vibes.
Yes.
And it reminds me almost, like, the costumes that they wear of The Hunger Games. And I watched The Hunger Games recently, again, because I'd read the books in high school, and we studied it in high school, and I watched it again. And this time, it wasn't entertaining. Mm. It almost felt sort of like a prophecy, as more and more of our celebrities are turning into the freaks that habituate the Capitol, you know, the Capitol bit in The Hunger Games. That's literally what it looks like.
As the mouse utopia worsens, I don't know if you know about John Calhoun's experiment.
No.
But he put mice in a massive box, gave them all the food and water they needed, but over time he constricted the space. And what ended up happening is the populations bifurcated into two. They bifurcated into the ones that stopped reproducing entirely and they just started eating each other. And in the corner, there were ones called the beautiful ones. And all they did is sit there and groom themselves and masturbate all day.
Oh, right.
So what we're seeing is as privation is worsening and state surveillance is worsening and they're controlling our energy and our food and making us eat bugs.
Yeah.
Over there are the decadent types who are living in the capital, whether it's cultural capital or up on Capitol Hill in the States. Mm. And they are getting more and more flamboyant and ridiculous to demark themselves from we peasants.
I think that's a brilliant analysis.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I'm paid here for a reason, I suppose.
I would agree with that.
So if we can go on to the next. I don't know why we're all surprised about Madonna, because she recently did this photo shoot for Vogue. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have, yeah.
Yeah. So for those who haven't, and for audio listeners, if we can just click on the images, John, she recreated The Last Supper, but she did it with a bunch of dolls around her waist and as a sort of ribcage corset.
Babies.
Mimicking the heads of babies.
Yeah.
And there's a literal demon on her right and left. Well, one of them's dressed as an angel, but he's got a skeleton. And then if we just go through, there's a bunch of androgynous and rather engorged people eating what looks like human flesh.
So just out and out mocking it. Mm. And the thing is, right, if it doesn't mean anything, and if it's all just stories that are absolutely ridiculous, why is it that celebrities continually feel the need to employ this sort of imagery if it doesn't mean anything?
Yeah, they routinely appropriate the tradition. Yeah. If it's meaningless, as they say, why do they keep hammering
down on it? Why are
they
so obsessed with it? I mean, less and less people are identifying as Christian. I mean, let's just be honest. Less and less people are identifying as religious. Less and less people believe in God. Yet they still feel the need to recreate these scenes and this sort of imagery. It clearly means something. If it didn't, they would just ignore it. That would be the fastest way to make religion irrelevant. It would be to just ignore it.
Yeah. Well, my thesis on it is that if you're sort of like obsessed with indulging in vice and you just feel compelled to do something repetitively, either you put very strict constraints on your appetite, which Christianity does. Read the letters of Paul if you think you can get away with doing anything slightly vicey in Christianity, or you make society accommodate your obsessions and it gets to the point where celebrating it you think will ease the screaming of your conscience inside of you, because you start to blame arbitrary societal standards rather than something which is good for you or long-baked traditions that conserve the health of the community for why you feel so bad. And you think that if enforcing everyone else to turn off their judgment, to abandon their religion, to abandon their standards, and affirm or even celebrate with a pride parade your decadent desires, you'll feel better about yourself. And all that ends up happening is that people end up doing orgies while the rest of the civilization's burning around them. They don't notice.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that. It's literally just about ego with these people, unfortunately.
If we go on to the next one as well, Charlie XCX was at least a bit honest. She said people don't want to see hot evil girls thrive, which is why that she wasn't nominated for a Grammy.
This is such a shame about her, you know.
Because
I like her music. Well, I liked her music until my friend showed me a music video of hers that just looked wrong. And you know, you can really feel when it's wrong.
Yeah.
Like she was at a funeral, she was wearing all black, dancing on black and white tiles. It was just really dark,
macabre.
Nasty. Yeah, it was just nasty. You could feel it. Like, you can see it, especially with Sam Smith's performance. I think we'll go on to that. But you can feel the darkness that comes from them. It doesn't actually feel good to watch. So after that, I stopped listening to her as well, because it's like, I don't need that energy.
There's something unwholesome here in my gut telling me that
you're
leading me a place I don't want to
go. And now it's, I'm a hot, evil girl. I mean, what does that mean?
Well, I'm glad that she was at least honest to say that she's evil, because if she's mired enough in the world and she recognises, I've had to compromise all of my values to get here.
Yeah.
Cheers for the mask off moment, love.
Yeah.
The others weren't saying it. They were just dressing like it. So if we can go on to the next one, we do have Sam Smith, who showed up with the Addams family, apparently. This is just sort of... Is that the guy from Outkast in the back doing Hey Ya? it's deliberately androgynous.
Yeah.
Deliberately provocative. But also, I did see people raise the point of where it's kind of anodyne now, because it's expected to be this performative.
Yeah.
Again, Lil Nas S did this a couple of years ago, and he did it while still being recommended by the YouTube Kids algorithm.
Which is just disgusting.
He used to sing on Sesame Street.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Old Town Road was on like kids' pop party albums in the UK, and then he immediately did the one where he's lap dancing in front of Satan.
They always do that. They go nice and then they go really, really weird.
I wonder why
Sam Smith is just a casualty of that. You know, I was a real fan of Sam Smith. I'm actually sad.
Right.
You know the song Latch that he did a cover of?
No.
Oh, no, I'm latching onto you.
No, I don't, no.
Oh,
but just for the rendition,
what music do you listen to?
Right, well, the one I'm most sad about, actually, and you're going to really judge me for this, because I've been judged by the viewers before, I quite like Billie Eilish, and...
I like one song of hers.
I like pretty much all her songs.
Really? Yeah, I just feel like she just whispers. Like, she just whispers into the mic over a beat. I just don't really see how it's music.
She's in my range. So, what she used to do is do performance pieces in character, talking about how everything's kind of miserable and I want to change my condition. That's what Everything I Wanted was like.
And well, that's the song I like.
It's great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as soon as she started talking off air, you realised, oh, you're just a brain-dead leftist.
Yeah.
Like, you're performing to endorse Joe Biden at the Democratic National Convention and dancing around in a graveyard.
Just a puppet.
Yeah, you're singing about abortion at Glastonbury.
There was one music video, and she said that this was about climate change, where she was literally a fallen angel.
All the good girls go to hell. And that's what the BBC said it was about, but there's one line in it, and it says, when the waters start to rise, and that's meant to be a biblical flood analogy, because she's talking about God, that she does call God a woman.
Is she coming up with this? That's the part. No. I don't think she is.
No. She's been AstroTurf. So her mum was a famous actress. She was in Mass Effect. And then her brother is writing most of her songs. And have you seen who her brother's girlfriend is?
No, I have
one
not.
One to one of Billie Eilish.
Ew, that's odd.
Bit weird. And then her boyfriend now is 20 years older, and they dressed up as a granddad and baby in a diaper for Halloween.
Fetishizing paedophilia and making it acceptable. But then in those circles, they probably all think it's hilarious, don't they?
Same circles.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Satanism imagery has anything relevant. Oh. So... on to the next. This is them accepting the award, and he's up there with Kim Petras, who Kim is a transgender woman. I think I've got that right, because Kim was born in Germany as Tim, and was one of the interview with Philip Schofield on This Morning about this, was one of the world's youngest sex changers.
Yeah.
And if this isn't just grooming this person
Yeah, it is. It's just so unsettling, especially because it's so mainstream. I'm actually speechless. I mean, look, I don't have a problem with her being transgender, him. I prefer to say him, if I'm being honest. But it's the point that it's popularized now. It's now trendy to be this way. And I don't know if I'm still allowed to say this, but, you know, it is a mental... condition.
We're gonna have to blank that out for YouTube, because we are actually not allowed to say that on YouTube. So if you want to find out exactly what Dominique said, you can go to our website.
Apologies.
Well, no, but I'll put it this way, right? Even if you're kind of apathetic to the surgery being maybe a solution for some people's ailments, after speaking with Richie Herron, I don't ever think something so barbarous can be administered to people and they can feel good about themselves. I don't think it's fair to put this on people, because you are taking away the prospect of a family from them. You are promising them that they will be this thing that they desperately want to be, and they never will be. And you can't erase the memories of who they used to be either.
Yeah.
Just creating a disintegrated person. And so, unfortunately, what you have is people that realise that, and that's why the suicide rate's very high, or people that realise it and, again, need to transform all of society around them in order to ail their screaming conscience.
Yeah, it's just narcissism.
Well, it's a sunken cost fallacy as well, because if these people have genuinely gone through all those steps and they've been convinced that the surgery will fix them, and it doesn't, they need to terraform the world. They need to speak the world into being like a reverse incarnation of Christ in order to make themselves feel better. And that's why this sort of stuff is pushed to the forefront. I mean, you said it was now mainstream. Kim Petras, in this speech, said, all these years going through my head of people saying, I'll be a niche artist because I'm transgender. My music would only ever play in gay clubs. What's wrong with that? Because I love gay clubs, but now I've got a Grammy for making gay club music with my friend. So the whole world's had to be turned into a gay club in order to make you feel better.
Yeah, essentially. And it's sad, but...
I wonder why the birth rate's
so low. At least she's got a Grammy. Really important.
Yeah, really low numbers of people watching that.
But it's a Grammy, okay? It's a Grammy.
Great, wonderful. So if we can just go on to the next bit. This was the funniest part of their performance. There should be a... just scroll down, please, John. I don't think it's in here. If we go on to the next one, please, it's just on Twitter. There we go. This was the most entertaining part. So you see the end of the performance, Sam Smith being consumed by fake demons, going down into hell. God. And then hell itself comes up on screen, because when they cut to an ad break, the Grammys is sponsored by...
Wait for it.
Pfizer! Of course it's sponsored by Pfizer. Lovely. A company that's never done anything wrong on YouTube. It's safe and effective.
Lovely. And that is... if that isn't irony, I don't know what it is.
I don't know if it is irony. I think it's deliberate.
Yeah.
But they must be sitting in a boardroom going, you know what's going to really rile them up the wrong way?
We'll have Sam Smith being consumed by demons, and then we'll advertise
the
our
mark
injection.
Of the beast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But this has been going on for ages. Like, this is nothing new. Again, it's anodyne, because we've had a bunch of celebrities do this sort of boring crap just to try and stay relevant.
Mm.
And this was just recently as well. If you go on to the next one, please, John. There's, as you pointed out, Doja Cat is dressed as a demon at Paris Fashion Week.
This is so sad as well.
Looks like Reptile from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, she looks like a freak. Mm. And the thing is that, I mean, I don't know whether it's designed to deliberately make herself look unattractive. Mm. She did a video about, you know, not wanting to look F-U-C-K-able all of the time.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know what has happened to her. I feel like something maybe has happened to her. Mm. But all of a sudden, she just started shaving off her eyebrows, shaved off her hair on her head.
Yeah.
She recently had a birthday party that was, can you guess what the theme was?
Go on.
Illuminati was the theme. She had the Freemason sign on her birthday cake.
Right. So either this is just being deliberately provocative to try and stay relevant, or the woman's genuinely going through something. Because
yeah.
she's quite a pretty girl, and now she is turning herself into some kind of androgynous.
Yeah, but I think
alien.
The birthday party that was before she started actually doing all of this.
Right.
So, make of that what you will.
I wonder who the attendees of said birthday party were then. Also, there's Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox.
Oh, don't get me started on them too.
Who, this is just... This is... I'm not going to say offensive because I'm not offended by anything, but just unbelievably cringeworthy.
Do you know what's interesting is that they use all of this imagery and they drink each other's blood for ritual purposes.
Yes.
Yeah. My sister directed me to a video and where she was speaking about her experience on psychedelics. I can't remember which one it was. It was either ayahuasca. I think it was ayahuasca or something like ayahuasca. And she said that she literally went to hell. And because ayahuasca is obviously meant to strip back all of the sort of mechanisms that we use to shield ourselves from reality, her reality was actually in hell. So she must be a genuinely despicable person.
So she's pierced the veil and talked to the clockwork elves and decided to just let them take over.
Yeah, basically.
Right. Well, again, though, both of these people are parents to different people's kids, and your kids can see you doing it. Don't get me wrong, I've got terrible taste in women. I think she's quite attractive.
She is. No, she is.
That's just.
She is. I think she's gone a bit far with the surgery, though, but she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But, like.
Have some propriety, woman.
And yeah, just deliberately, just ruining themselves. And again, employing this imagery.
Again, if it was meaningless, they wouldn't appropriate it.
Exactly.
So.
And this is the thing when I speak about, you know, the impact that music has.
Mm.
You know, it might sound a bit hippie, but literally everything is vibration, and the music that we listen to is vibration, and there are certain frequencies that can make us feel a certain way. And although I knew this already, I was doing some research on it, and there are so many studies. Like, even for example, in dementia patients, we have music memory. Our music memory, even when you have dementias or Alzheimer's, is actually not affected. So you can play an Alzheimer's or dementia patient a familiar song, and scientists have shown that they can actually use that in order for them to be able to connect with loved ones, because that memory is ingrained, and a lot of us actually don't realize it. So when we're talking about Sam Smith's song Unholy, and I was saying this to you, I was doing a bit of research, and the song itself is 131 beats per minute, and translated into hertz is about 2.1 hertz, and that frequency actually translates into delta brain waves, and delta brain waves in our brain are most found when we are asleep, or when we're in a trance, or when we are hypnotized. So the music we listen to literally has the ability to hypnotize us.
Mm.
Why do you think that when you listen to a song and don't even like it, you find yourself singing it the next day? Because our brain registers things that we do not consciously realize that we're consuming. So when people say, oh, it's just music, it's just a song, it's not just a song. You are effectively being programmed. And that's why I've deleted most of my earlier playlists that I used to listen to, because I used to think it was just music, but it's not. And I scared the shit out of myself and I've deleted my playlists.
Yeah, it does shape your reality. It's, it's like in, so we cover the Mass Effect series of games on the channel, and in it there's these giant leviathanic metal creatures that land on the earth and harvest humans and turn you into a transhuman. And,
oh God.
Well, the way they get you to go along with their plans is first they send out a certain frequency that's like a bellowing.
Right.
To make you compliant, so they'll get people who aren't cybernetically integrated to convince their fellow species to just go along with the machine's plans. So first, they'll just involuntarily conscript you into their schemes, and then they'll convert you into being literal cyborg demons.
Right.
Yeah. And also, I just suppose it's a coincidence the World Economic Forum has now deleted, but it's archived, an article on their website from 2018 talking about mind control sonic weapons.
What?
Not joking. Look it up, people. It's there. I'll tweet it out afterwards. There we go.
Yeah, they're obsessed with it. They're obsessed with it. Especially Klaus Schwab. He did a conference thing, a World Economic Forum thing, where he basically was like, imagine 10 years from now, we're all connected and we can literally read each other's minds.
I love how it started off with the impression. Yeah. Not quite Mark Stein level, but you get in there, don't worry.
Away. I mean, I'm good at accents, but that'll be for another day.
That was like Jesse from Little Mix trying to do Jamaican. It ain't gonna happen.
I'll stop.
All right, next. Obviously, this is kind of wearing its course now because Demi Lovato tried this.
Ooh,
the woman
who's
unbelievably desperate to be relevant. She did this album cover where she's on a crucifix-shaped dirty mattress in bondage with her hair shaved off, and the album is called Holy F with a V in it. And so the Advertising Standards Authority banned it for possibly offending Christians.
Thank you.
Yep. Which I'm not offended. I just think it's pathetic. But the interesting thing was,
does she look like that still?
Yeah.
Oh, has she gone back? She looks a bit more normal now, because before she looked really, really bad before.
That's normal.
She looks normal compared to how she was before. Trust
me. I preferred her when she was on heroin. It's funny though, this is the first of her albums ever to not yield a top 50 single in the Billboard 100.
I wonder why.
So people just don't care about your performative attention seeking. The interesting thing about all of this though, just to finish on, speaking of The Weeknd from the start of the segment, he predicted all of this. If you can just play some stuff in the background, John, while we're talking. This is his music video from Save Your Tears. I don't know if you know the song.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I don't like it.
I really like that song.
I got
bought his concert tickets, but I don't think I'm going to be getting those now.
No.
Look at his face. He's had fake surgery in the thing.
Right.
It looks almost like Madonna's. He's wearing the bright red suit. He literally gets sent to hell later on for shooting himself in the face for screwing up his relationship. And he's performing at a mock-up of the Grammys because he wasn't nominated for a Grammy, and they've all got fake masks on, and he literally urinates on their faces.
Right, okay.
This is really weird about the fact that Sam Smith's music video was fake urination on his face.
Yeah.
Madonna's got the surgery, performs like a Satanist, and then descends into hell before Dawn FM kicks off his next album.
So what, I mean, okay, this theory that you've got is really, really interesting, because I was originally a really big Weeknd fan. Like, I was obsessed with The Weeknd, actually. And then since he like started becoming more mainstream, number one, the music has gotten worse, in my opinion.
I think it's become a bit of a resurgence now that he's basically emulating Michael Jackson.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've not listened to anything since he did that Starboy one. That song in itself is good. Was the album called Starboy?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah. Since then, I've just switched off a bit. But I thought it was because he's gone like all demonic Hollywood. That's why I stopped listening to him. But you believe...
He's deliberately subverting it. That's the point. So in one of the videos, it's way too late. His decapitated head is found in the hills, the Hollywood Hills, where he shot the Hills music video. It's found by two women addicted to surgery who reattach his head to a gigolo they hire and then have sex with the corpse. And it's just saying that these women are interchangeable. They will just shag you for status, and that he feels incredibly empty and slowly being killed by this. And then Dawn FM is meant to be being him locked in purgatory, going through hell for messing up his relationships, for buying into that culture beforehand. And that's why it's gone from his early album saying Cali is the mission to now leaving.
Right.
He's got an entire song about how LA girls will cheat on you and they all look the same.
Okay.
It's quite subversive, actually. It's quite... All right,
no, I like that interpretation of it, because since you've said that, I was watching it before I came, and I sort of saw it in a different way. So I might become a weekend listener again.
I mean, I've just alienated our entire audience here. Are going to criticise my music.
I was surprised that you listened to The Weeknd, yeah, won't lie.
Yeah, I quite like it. So, basically, modern culture is incredibly satanic. It's not really worth your time. And
and also, music brainwashes you.
Yeah.
So be aware of it.
Life imitates art. All right, on to the next one. Speaking of demons, we're going to be able to load this up, John. Hey, there
Speaking
we go.
Speaking of demons.
Well, so yesterday, President Volodymyr Zelensky addressed Parliament. He said that a Ukrainian victory would be a victory over the concept of war itself, and that it would send a message to those who would seek to challenge the global order. Mm. Giving our helmets in Parliament a helmet was apparently enough of a ceremonial gesture to secure military training, aid, and even fighter jets, all paid for by us, the people that actually work for this country. Dominique's here today because you requested specifically to cover this to discuss with me why exactly the West seems obsessed with funneling all its money to Ukraine.
I mean, it's a really, really interesting question because firstly, you just have to look at whether or not things make sense. Mm. And they don't make sense. I mean, the idea that's being continually pushed in the media is that Zelensky is this war hero. That's why he goes around in that green get-up as if he's this war general fighting for freedom.
Yeah, his H&M custom outfit.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, number one, Ukraine is an extremely corrupt country. Number two, it's not a democracy. The guy is effectively a tyrant, banning news organisations that he doesn't like.
And the rival parties.
Yeah, attacking churches that are quote-unquote, you know, associated with Russia or, you know, pushing Russian disinformation. And thirdly, you know, Russia is winning. And I'm sorry, some people might be offended by this. You know, they might be like, oh, because Russia couldn't take Kiev, you know, that means that, you know, we're going to win. No, Russia is winning the war. They've taken up considerable territories, particularly in the east of Ukraine, which is the area of Ukraine that Russia wants already. To make matters worse, even the IMF projected that Russia's GDP will actually grow in 2023.
Yeah, it's because they're instantiating a parallel economy, which we will talk about in a moment.
They can afford to fund this war. The facts are that Ukraine can't. And in regards to our military, Boris the buffoon demanding that we send all of our, you know, he was telling us to send them all of our jets, all of our tanks, everything, send it all to Ukraine. I want to know who is paying this buffoon to basically campaign for us to remove all of our defense stocks, because the US Secretary General, there's a story about this in Sky recently, said to Ben Wallace, our defense minister, that, you know, that we wouldn't actually last in an armed, like a full-scale war. Mm. Our ammunition would last a few days, he said. A few days. That's a problem. Meanwhile, we're running around offering fighter jets when, one, our stockpiles are depleting and we cannot actually replenish them quick enough. We've had to import them. And number two, in terms of the fighter jets, we don't even have enough pilots to be able to train people to use the fighter jets we have already. So how are we sending them to Ukraine? That's partly why Rishi Sunak is saying that it's a long-term commitment, because we simply don't actually have the capability. So who is pushing this? What is the agenda? And I think really there is a wider agenda here. I don't know what it is. And I think it's to do with, I don't know,
I think it's
grinding
sunk costs.
Yeah,
personally.
But I think grinding Europe to a halt. I mean, there was a whistleblower that came out recently. I think his name's Steve Hirsch. His second name is definitely Hirsch. He's an investigative journalist, Pulitzer Prize winner. He's come out and accused Joe Biden of being directly responsible for the Nord Stream 2 pipeline attack. So it seems that America has interest in wanting to grind Europe to a halt. The question is why?
Well, if you want to bribe the military-industrial complex, you're going to need a job so that they can tax you. If you do fancy a job, go over to lotuseaters.com careers page, and if you're able to be a web developer, cheers. I'm waiting for the call from Daily Wire. You can sign up and send us an email. If you're qualified, you will have to work from the office in Swindon or commute in for 5 hours a day like I do. But we're a good fun office here.
Five hours?
Yeah, 2.5 hours each way.
Oh, okay. Good for you. That's a commitment.
Yeah, well, Swindon's more horrible than London somehow. So,
I mean, more horrible than London. Okay, yeah. I thought you were going to say
I'm in a suburb. I'm not in central. I'm not dodging knives left and right. I'm fine. So if we go to the next, this is just a quick summary of what happened at yesterday's meeting when Rishi and the poison dwarf himself nearly kissed. So the UK training of Ukrainian forces is set to be expanded to cover fighter jet pilots and Marines, as you said. The UK also announced a fresh round of sanctions targeting Russia and thereby itself. The latest sanctions target IT companies as well as manufacturers of military equipment such as drones and helicopter parts. Plans have been announced to train Ukrainian pilots to fly NATO standard fighter jets in the future, a key request from Ukraine.
In the future.
Yeah. Number 10 said Mr. Sunak would be offering to provide Ukraine with longer range capabilities to disrupt Russia's ability to target Ukraine's critical national infrastructure. It added that British training would be scaled up this year with a further 20,000 Ukrainian soldiers set to be trained. I'm sure all of those have wonderful politics and not a single one will be caught on Sky News driving past the camera with an Azov battalion logo. Mm. So how much of money have we currently sent to Ukraine? We can go from the Express's summary here. Since the start of the war, the US has given the largest amount of military aid to Ukraine, totaling $22.9 billion, or that's euros there, so it's £20.5 billion by November 20th, according to the Kiel Institute. 2022 marks the first time since the aftermath of the Second World War that a European country has been the top recipient of US foreign aid in a year. The UK is second on the list, having pledged £3.7 billion. Downing Street spokesperson said the Prime Minister was dedicated to ensuring Ukraine wins this war.
And you know what's funny is that we actually don't know where all of this is going. It's completely unregulated.
There was a woman who was a wife of some sort of official caught walking across the Polish border with a suitcase full of cash.
Interesting, but not surprising. And even there were some reports that weapons from Ukraine are ending up in the arms of Boko Haram in Nigeria. Yeah, the Nigerian, I don't know, did they have a president or a prime minister? The president said that weapons from were appearing on the black market and actually arming these insurrection groups. So,
right.
Yeah, there you go. When you write a blank check, it turns out that you actually end up arming terrorist groups. Mm. Sort of similar to what happened in Afghanistan.
Well, I was going to say, the Chinese have been buying up the American military equipment from the Afghanis from a discounted price. If the Chinese and the Russians are in an economic pact, are we really believing those Black Hawks won't be ending up on the Russian front line?
Yeah,
at any point?
And it's just suspicious how Biden just left them all there. Mm. But I mean, I guess that's a conversation for another day.
Yep. Well, so let's go to an update on the death toll, shall we? Oh no, actually, we've got a clip from Zelensky himself. Let's listen to him saying,
"We will win. We know Russia will lose.
We don't.
And we really know the victory will change the world. And this will be a change that the world has long needed.
And what change is that? The Great Reset, maybe?
The United Kingdom is marching with us towards the most, I think, the most important victory of our lifetime. It will be a victory over the very idea of the war. After we win together, any aggressor, it doesn't matter, big or small, will know what awaits him if he attacks international order. Any aggressor who will try to push the boundaries by force, who will inflict destruction and death on other peoples, who will try to endure his dictatorship at the expense of other people's blood in criminal and unprovoked wars as the Kremlin does. Any aggressor is going to lose.
First to stop clapping.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have already achieved remarkable results, and we must make every effort to turn our achievements into the foundations of the future global security architecture. The world needs your leadership, Britain, just as it needs Ukrainian bravery.
So the Ukrainian victory will not only destroy the idea of war itself, a very progressive idea of an end of history where we're all living in utopia, but it'll also be the foundation of future global security. So they're admitting to reconstructing a world order based off of their approach to ending the Ukraine war.
So it's not about democracy then, is it?
Well, no, only if you define democracy in the sort of Leninist vanguard aspect of democracy over the proletariat by a bunch of Marxist ideologues that decide how we run our lives. So that would be the way. I do want to express, of course, the fact that I wouldn't really fancy living in Russia or Ukraine.
No.
And that there's a bunch of dead on both sides. I mean, the last death toll was estimated by France 24, 180,000 killed Russian soldiers, and Ukrainians 100,000 military and 130,000 dead civilians. So they're kind of neck and neck at the moment. And
I mean, I don't believe those figures, and namely because they come from France 24.
Well, yeah,
Which, I mean, they have an interest in making sure that people believe that, you know, Slava Ukraini. But if you look at other sources, particularly apparently just this month alone, that they've lost about 6,500 soldiers. But obviously, I will be transparent. This comes from the Russian defense minister, which, you know, fair enough. But you do have to actually look at what both sides are saying, because in terms of the losses in weaponry that Ukraine has incurred, the Russian defense ministry has said that they have managed to destroy about 26 planes, which sort of makes sense, because why is Zelensky coming to Britain to demand planes?
Yeah. So. And the thing is, I'm willing to listen to both sides of statistics, mainly because I don't really have a dog in the fight other than I don't want to pay for it.
For me, it was just when I first saw what was going on, you know, there's going to be a war in Ukraine. The narrative around it really reminded me of the narrative around COVID.
Yes.
And I've learned that if the mainstream media is in unison with one particular topic and the propaganda is, you know,
relentless.
Yeah, that something weird is going on. And really, if Russia were in such dire straits, the Russian defense minister wouldn't be saying that their special operation will end by this year, which suggests that they're sort of setting out what they want to do. And this isn't, you know, I would say a controversial opinion. There's so many people from mainstream news outlets that are actually saying, you know, in the East, Russian troops are hammering, and that conflict doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. And they have made several gains. So I think just balance is probably needed instead of turning everyone into a warmongering zealot.
Yeah, well, even, well, yeah, but that's not very profitable, is it? I mean,
no.
Then you won't be able to have Raytheon show up at the Conservative Party conference and you can pose with their missile launchers in a booth, which actually happened.
Really?
I'm not making that up. Oh, yeah, it was right by the cloakroom. It wasn't great. So just in case we're accused of being conspiracy theorists here, I thought I'd bring up the Council on Foreign Relations, because if you're talking about the construction of a new world order with a Great Reset, or that Zelensky is trying to defend or reinstitute a world order with the defense of Ukraine, then you'll be accused of making things up. But there is actually a liberal world order that they're currently trying to conserve. Even Joe Biden said this and said there's going to be a new world order. So this is the conception that they're trying to hold on to, perhaps. The United States, working closely with the United Kingdom and others, established the liberal world order in the wake of World War II. The goal was to ensure that the conditions that had led to two world wars in 30 years would never again rise, almost like a war on the concept of war for itself.
Yeah, and I mean, these terms like new world order, liberal world order, these are established concepts in international relations anyway. I mean, I did it for my degree. So it's not like this is just conspiracy theory. These are genuine concepts that have been born out of a sort of American supremacy. But I think what is interesting is that this liberal world order that, you know, the US is apparently trying to protect, is it really? Because I think that the greatest threat to this liberal world order has been the integration of China. And now we know that China doesn't want to be a part of this liberal world order. It actually wants to do the opposite, and it wants to actually be on top and replace America. The question is America happy to do that? I would say so. It's happy to import everything and anything from China in the name of climate change, I would think. Our solar panels that we love to bang on about, where do they come from?
80% of battery manufacturing comes from China.
Exactly. Yep. So we're very much happy to prop up the Chinese economy whilst pretending we're interested in preserving the liberal world order. If you ask me, I think it's the opposite.
Yeah. So not a conspiracy theory then. Good. Glad about that. What about the peace deals? Any prospect of the war ending anytime soon? Well, we have here a tweet from Michael Tracy, who documents how one of the former Israeli prime ministers tried to negotiate a peace deal.
Bless you. I don't know.
Sorry.
Say that.
Bit of a cough, unfortunately. tried to negotiate a peace deal early on between Ukraine and Russia. And the Americans interceded and said, no, thank you very much. He said both sides very much wanted a ceasefire, Naftali Bennett said, former Israeli PM. But the US blocked it. On March 5th, 2022, 9 days after the invasion, Bennett secretly went to Moscow and met with Putin. Bennett says that Putin agreed to two big concessions, renouncing the denazification of Ukraine, understood to mean regime change, and renouncing the disarmament of Ukraine. Bennett says that this simultaneously simultaneously to this, again, based on his direct, intensive involvement with day-to-day negotiations, Zelensky had agreed to a big concession and would officially renounce NATO membership. Anything I did was coordinated down to the last detail with the US, Germany, and France, said Bennett. Bennett says he was in constant contact with Jake Sullivan, sometimes Antony Blinken, sometimes Biden himself. There was a decision by the West to keep striking Putin, he said, and it's clear he's talking about the US as a decisive player, more decisive than Ukraine or Russia.
Mm. Interesting, because there was a similar story in November last year, and that was specifically about Boris Johnson.
Yes.
Apparently, that was what his trip, his performative trip to Ukraine was about. It was about stopping Zelensky from making any concessions to Putin. And then soon after that, you heard Zelensky screaming and shouting about Crimea. And we know that Russia, illegally, according to us, have had Crimea since 2014.
Yes.
There is no way that the war is going to end anytime soon if you then are starting to talk about Crimea, which suggests that you're not actually interested in the war ending anytime soon, which also suggests that there's a bigger agenda at play, because especially with the destruction of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, it's all very focused on energy. And what are we obsessed with at the moment? It's net zero. Yeah. And I think the two probably come hand in hand. I think this war is a convenient vehicle to accelerate that agenda.
Yeah, I definitely think that this is a, well, if not manufactured, then the Rahm Emanuel style crisis of never let a good crisis go to waste. Mm. And you're seeing the bifurcation of the global economy into the assets and resource-backed economy of BRICS. So the Saudis looking to trade more directly with Russia and get off the petrodollar, the Russians looking to do gold for oil exchanges, the Chinese having lots of their manufacturing capabilities and access to loads of the rare earth minerals in the 140 countries they've got under Belt and Road. Meanwhile, in the West, we're rapidly destroying the American petrodollar, which has been the mechanism for America to seize the global hegemon after how many years?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get onto renewables, which requires Chinese manufacturing and all those minerals that the Chinese have, unless we send Elon up into space and he mines asteroids anytime soon, but highly unlikely. And so we are committing economic and energy security suicide and acquiescing to the other side of the planet all of the resources that we need. And so we're becoming a very dependent economic bloc.
Exactly. And, you know, I really don't think this level of incompetence is by accident. But it reminds me of when you said never let a good crisis go to waste. You know, the advent of 15-minute cities.
Yes.
I was reading through the website that advocates for these things. And, you know, conveniently it said that COVID-19 presented the perfect opportunity in order for us to realise the importance of us being closer together. And it's just, it makes me sick.
Yeah.
How people actually swallow this.
Yeah, the policy that was designed to imprison you in your home made us realise we need those prisons instantiated out on the streets.
Yeah.
So that you'll find if you go anywhere beyond the yard. Did you see the video from the Oxford City Council when, as soon as people started posting about this online, they said, we need to address this. This is misinformation. This is a conspiracy theory. It's just a couple of traffic cameras, no actual barriers. Even they started putting bollards in the streets that people had to remove.
Yeah, and people are removing them. And what was interesting is that me and others, we posted about this, and then there seemed to be this designated journalist that wrote a Reuters article.
Oh, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
A Reuters article saying, wait a minute, I fact-checked this. This isn't a climate lockdown. It's simply mechanisms to
traffic control measures to stop you moving anywhere.
Traffic control measures. Mm. And it's like, do you realise how ridiculous you are? But I just thought it was funny that this journalist was floating around commenting on each and every one of our posts, which suggests that narrative control. Yep. Narrative control.
They've got a confect account consensus to manufacture consensus.
It's not just in Oxford, it's spreading all across the country.
It's Bath, it's Canterbury, there's loads of places with the ULEZ zones as well.
That is the next V passport. I mean,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's digital ID coming in 2023. The consultation's actually going on, so.
Right.
Yeah, I've already directed some people to give their responses. It's going to be passed no matter what we say, but
it doesn't matter.
All I did was filled out the questionnaire and then posted on Twitter to prove that I filled out the questionnaire and said, okay, if everyone else does the same, when they eventually pass it, even though the overwhelming amount of responses were negative, we've got some ground to go, well, hang on a minute here. People actually didn't want this. You're foisting on us anyway. There was also Joe Biden, apparently, according to a German newspaper, had offered Putin 20% of Ukraine to end the war early on. So the White House and the CIA have responded to report that CIA director William Burns offered Russian President Vladimir Putin a fifth of Ukraine's territory to end the war in Ukraine as part of a peace plan drawn up on behalf of
President Biden. When I was saying this, that, you know, in order to sort of end this, what's going to end up happening is you're going to have to give up some territory, territory that, you know, Russia's had for quite a while anyway. And everyone's like, oh no, you paid by Russia. And Sleepy Joe is apparently offering 20%.
Well, Sleepy Joe's literally paid by China because via his son's investment firm, they were selling off oil to the Chinese.
Yeah, good old Hunter Biden, but we're not allowed to talk about him.
Oh, we will later, don't worry. A CIA official told Newsweek that claims in the report from the Swiss-German newspaper New Zürcher Zeitung that Burns took a secret trip to Moscow in January and that there was a peace proposal put forward by the director on behalf of the White House were completely false, apparently. Last month, Burns travelled in secret to meet and brief Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv. The Washington Post reported, Burns is said to have submitted the plan in mid-January to put an end to the war, which began on February 24th, 2022. The story was reported by NZZ on Thursday, citing high-ranking German foreign politicians. One of the politicians told NZZ that he believes it is becoming increasingly clear that the US is preparing for a long war of attrition. He raised concerns that Germany would suffer economically, financially, and militarily from such a war. And if we can go on to this video here, which you can watch for £5 subscribing to the website, which is Dan's Brokenomics series, Dan essentially breaks down how the Ukrainian war is actually quite beneficial to the Americans because America, obviously, taking out of Detroit all of their car manufacturing plants, cozying up to Russia, they're quite worried about the geopolitical security implications of relying on Russia for all their oil. Instead, the US can become, for a limited time, between now and the net zero deadline, which they tightly want to control. Mm. Biden said we only need oil for 10 more years in the State of the Union speech, for example. America could become the leading oil exporter and control the entire block of Europe and ensure that the euro is no longer competitive to the dollar. So they can, for that a short amount of time, retain the dominance of the petrodollar and then switch it to renewables.
It's so interesting that you say that because after Nord Stream 2 was blown up, America actually said we have this pipeline. I can't remember which one it is, so I'm not. But if people look it up, they can probably find it. But after that, America had an alternative that coincidentally benefited them the most, which is interesting. And before the pipeline was actually blown up, Joe Biden did say, trust me, we can put a stop to it.
Yes. So. Yeah, it's nothing like the Americans have ever conducted any sort of subterfuge efforts on foreign soil before. Especially not to topple regimes in Iraq or Libya when they said they wanted to get off the petrodollar. They weren't happy. It's not like there was a pipeline in Syria between the Russians that they didn't like either. Weird, that conspiracy theory,
I'm
sure. It's
conspiracy theory.
There's also another conspiracy theory here, just to almost finish up on, that the Americans and Ukrainians since 2005 have been investing in Soviet-era biofacility labs, which is quite weird. In 2005, Senator Obama, not President, Senator Obama, kind of strange that a junior Chicago senator would go over and investigate Ukraine.
Yep.
And Senator Lugar visited former Soviet biological and chemical weapons facilities in Ukraine and established the US deep state roots there. From the Washington Post article that's been linked in this, it's there, you can go and read it. The United States and Ukraine agreed yesterday to work jointly to prevent the spread of biological weapons, signing a pact that clears the way for Ukraine's government to receive US aid to improve security at facilities where dangerous microbes are kept. The agreement, the result of more than a year of negotiations, was announced by Senators Richard Lugar and Barack Obama during a visit to the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv. The senators credited Ukraine's reformist leaders, ushered into power by last fall's Orange Revolution, with breaking bureaucratic resistance to the pact. One lab is to receive funding is the 11, I'm going to have really hard time pronouncing this, Meshinikov Anti-Plague Scientific and Research Institute
in
the Black
Sea. Just do it in a
Sea.
Russian accent.
Meshinikov. There we go. Fantastic. In the port of Odessa. What are the numbers, Mason? The institute is part of a Cold War network of anti-plague stations that supplied highly lethal pathogens to Soviet bioweapons factories.
Yeah.
And then we know that President Obama, in thanking the 2005 government for being more pliable, one of his chiefs of staff, Victoria Nuland, was involved in that 2014 phone call that ended up getting Zelensky into power.
And
how weird is that?
Yeah, and it was this Victoria Nuland who's on record on camera saying there are US bio labs in Ukraine.
Mm.
And, you know, they phrase it as, oh, you know, we're not dealing with deadly pathogens here. Mm. You know, although they've got things like anthrax in there, there was this one news report, this journalist going into this bio lab, and it was this really small bio lab, didn't really seem to have any sort of security. And the lady goes that when Russia invaded, they had anthrax there that they actually had to destroy in this like tiny machine, anthrax. And this is, and the journalist was like, yeah, like, do you know what anthrax is?
Yeah. Yeah, not wise to have that very unsecured, is it? The interesting thing as well is that there was, so the US firm that took over it was Metabiota, and it was awarded a grant by the Pentagon's Defense Threat Reduction Agency. Hunter Biden's investment firm fundraised and invested in Metabiota.
Ding, ding, ding.
If we go down to tweet 14, please, John, because this is a really interesting one. Volodymyr Zelensky ordered the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense to destroy all state documents affiliated with US biolab companies Metabiota and Batel. So he deleted all the documents, and we have some here from the orders that have been translated. So there might be some sunken costs, which is why the Americans want to prolong this war, as do the Brits, because we'll wrap up on our very own favourite Tobias Elwood, the man who was part of the Ministry of Defence's 77th Brigade, which recently spied on Peter Hitchens,
yep,
Judy
and
Hardy Brewer.
And that was a conspiracy theory once as well. Majid Nawaz said it first.
Yes.
Although, you know, Big Brother Watch is the one who did the report. Majid Nawaz said this way, way, way before.
Oh, if you keep saying things like that, Tobias Elwood won't unblock you.
Yeah.
If we can just listen to his own words.
We are now at war in Europe. We need to move to a war footing. We are involved in that. We've mobilized our procurement processes. We're gifting equipment. We need to face Russia directly and rather than leaving Ukraine to do all the work.
So he just wants to institute a British ground war in Ukraine.
Which we're not in any position to do. We're just not.
But even if we were, I'm not content to send blood and treasure overseas and have young, brave British men die for either corrupt Eastern European country.
Exactly.
I'm just not happy.
I'd much rather focus on what is going on here. Please, someone.
But unfortunately, we're not going to get that. And instead, we're going to be made to pay for the military industrial complex forever. So, like any forever war, peace is never the most profitable course of action.
Nope.
Great stuff. All right, finally then, let's terrify the hell out of you. So last time you were here, Dominique, we covered Ectolife. You remember the proof of concept facility for birthing babies in those little chambers?
How could I forget?
Well, fortunately, it seems like they've listened to our criticism. So now we've moved on from Matrix-style birthing facilities, because obviously this would adversely affect child development by playing Spotify for a Ring doorbell, and remove women entirely from the reproductive process, like it's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Worry not, women. Your concerns have been heard. Rather than outsource gestation to these pods, your corpse is now going to be a vessel for transgender people's offspring.
That makes me feel so much better.
Yes, you're going to get brain damage for trans rights. Now, of course, me being a seasoned misogynist would never advocate for this, but it seems that progressives are really, really happy about this. Let's look into the ethically murky world of surrogacy. First of all, an exclusive from the Daily Mail, womb transplants for trans women are very likely in the near future, claim top facility experts. Read expert as ideologue, I would advise.
Yep.
Trans women will be able to get life-changing womb transplant in the near future. The huge scientific breakthrough would give biological males the chance to carry a child, a feat currently impossible. Nature is cruel. Infertile women around the world have already given birth thanks to the pioneering op. Only tiny modifications would be needed to make it a reality for men too, according to world-renowned voices in the transplantation field. Wombs could have come from deceased women and donors who have decided to have their own reproductive organs removed, which can happen when women decide to become men. We're literally body swapping.
When women decide to become men.
So not only is the Daily Mail, unfortunately, abiding by the idea that if you just swap body parts, you will be a brand new person, but also what is with the pathology that we need to invert all genders? It's just to perpetuate revolution endlessly. It treats the material plane as some kind of, as Mao once said, biology and nature are revolutionary enemies. It's nuts.
Where will it end?
Where
will it end? And it won't. And that is the dangerous thing. How far are these people willing to take this? I don't want to live in a world where a man can have a womb implanted inside of him and then he can start running around going, you know, basically, women, you are meaningless because look at me. I can have a baby too. I don't really think, I mean, maybe in the future they'll be able to do something like this. But
they tried
to
once with the fella that was in the Danish Girl, the Eddie Redmayne film.
Oh, I read that. Yeah, I watched it.
He died because they tried implanting a womb. It was Magnus Hirschfeld, I think, which was the sexologist in Weimar, Germany, doing gender transition changes on children. And they implanted a womb in him and then he died because his body rejected the organ and he got an infection.
What the hell?
Yeah, but obviously men can't give birth anyway because their pelvis is so narrow. So unless you like break their entire lower body,
it would just be C-section. I think you could like.
Well, no, they've actually talked about connecting the neo-vagina up to the womb and allowing you to. Yeah, I know.
I think what the question is though, again, because when it comes to obviously women having babies, there's a point to it. So we emit certain hormones that connect us. Oxytocin's the biggest one that basically connect us with the child when it's born. As far as I'm aware, would men be capable of doing that?
Oh, they're going to take artificial ones. They actually say that in here. They're going to put you on a hormone replacement therapy. They're going to connect your neo-vagina up to your new other woman's womb. And they're going to have to break your pelvis so you can give birth authentically. I personally think that this is like a deeply religious project. So Carl and I have discussed this before.
What religion is that?
Gnosticism. So James Lindsay said this, Carl and I have discussed this before, of where it's the idea that the world, the material world, has been created by a capricious like sub-deity, like a demon.
Oh, I know yeah. This. I was looking into this.
And distance from the true God who made things truly, and that's our souls imprisoned in these material fleshy bodies. A bit like Plato.
I don't entirely disagree with that, personally.
The problem is, though, if your gendered soul is mismatched with your body, because this sub-deity has inflicted this great cruelty on you, then it becomes a liberation theology, a moral virtue, to augment your body to be in line with your true authentic self. So it becomes an act of heroism to actually chop your nuts off and transplant a womb into you.
I suppose, but then the argument would probably be that the true creator does not make mistakes.
Yeah.
We're all a product of the true creator. She's actually, so the true creator that they refer to, she's actually, it's a woman, and she's called Sophia.
Yes.
Sophia's the true one. And the fake masculine god is actually called Yaldabaoth. And in some ways, I sort of understand where they're going with it. I don't entirely agree, but I think that if that were true, then surely this creator wouldn't make mistakes. And in terms of masculine and feminine energy. Masculine and feminine energy, it has a purpose.
It's complementary, yeah.
Yeah, so to subvert that, even in that sense, would be wrong.
Yeah, but their idea is kind of similar to Rousseau in that originally we were free and everywhere we're born in chains.
Yeah.
Judith Butler wrote something very similar in Gender Trouble. The idea is that these cultural artifices of assigning sex at birth have been imposed on us and keep us from truly aligning with who we are inside. I can see your brow furrowing. It's not meant to make sense. It's basically a project to abolish all bodily constraints and free the will. This is why you're seeing the World Economic Forum types want to go into the metaverse and stimulate their brains endlessly.
But then again, it sort of feeds back into religion in terms of Satanism, because their belief is that they are God. So
do what thou wilt, not what God wills, as Alistair Crowley once said.
Yeah, Alistair Crowley. The Hollywood elite are a big fan of him as well. Mm. In that sense, you are God. So if you are God and you are the... I believe we do create our reality, but I think they slightly go in a different direction. Because they believe that there are no consequences to creating that reality. And if there are consequences, the consequences don't matter. Because if you're God, who cares about the consequences? I mean, there are none. So in that sense, if you can literally mutilate your body and do all of this, you're God.
Yes.
You can create whatever the hell you want.
It's Promethean ambition. One doomed to fail. And that's why they get so resentful and revolutionary. And they make us all believe in their delusional worldview. Otherwise, they just call us bigots. So academics behind the claim carried out North America's first womb transplant from a deceased donor, which resulted in the birth of a child. The team from the prestigious Cleveland Clinic in Ohio wrote about the possibility of performing the surgery on a biological man in fertility and sterility. Campaigners argue transgender women should have the same rights to carry a child as a woman born female. Just for those who need to hear it, you don't have a right to a child. The child is not some sort of
handbag to carry around. Yeah, you don't have a right to a child.
You're meant to live in service to your children. Yeah. You're not meant to have them as some kind of accessory.
Yeah.
Also, to be otherwise is like to treat women who are tragically infertile from something like endometriosis as having their rights violated by nature, which is an oxymoron because you can't express your rights without the natural body. So Again, not meant to make sense.
Not meant to make sense.
It's likely the first step that would be a trans woman undergoing a vaginoplasty, so their body is more similar to that of a biological woman. Oh, you just cut your bits off and you're instantly a woman. The extensive operation involves creating a neo-vagina using tissue from elsewhere in the body, such as the penis or a section of the bowel, and provides a base to attach a transplanted womb. The process would also likely involve the removal of testicles to stop the production of male hormones that could interfere with a future baby, with sperm being frozen for potential future fertility treatment.
You're just going to be killing... Kids trying to make this happen.
You're going to be having your own. Theoretically, this could see trans women get pregnant with their own babies, similar to biological women who can do IVF using their own pre-harvested eggs. So you'll have your sperm frozen, then you'll create a neo-vagina, then you'll implant the womb, and then you'll impregnate yourself using your own sperm.
Why would you even want to go through all that effort?
Narcissism. Deep narcissism. You want your own pet project, literally. Currently, uterus transplants are only available for reproductive purposes, are normally removed following the birth of a single child, but sometimes are kept for one or two. But a trans woman might, in theory, want to keep their womb for longer as part of treating their gender dysphoria by allowing them to menstruate. Authors said this prospect could carry unknown dangers to the patient.
Oh, you think? Like, yeah. You think forcing the body to do something that it actually is not supposed to do might have some consequences?
Also taking lots of immunosuppressant drugs and at the same time cutting your reproductive organs off, which... release hormones which do regulate your immune system. When I was talking to Richie Herron, for example, he said, ever since this has been done to me, I've just been ill all the time because I've just got no immune system left. There's been about...
Is he a trans man or a trans woman?
He's a bloke who was convinced to go through the full surgery, had it botched. We have an amazing interview with him on our website. It's the most harrowing story I've ever heard. And he's currently, very successfully, the first person to sue the NHS for gender transition treatment. Insightful, sad stuff. Hence why none of this should be encouraged. It's just not going to help people. You're just pushing them down a path which will lead them to sterilise themselves. Dr. Rebecca Flick, lead author of the new article, said not opening the surgery up to trans women would be a form of discrimination. As we increasingly recognise a history of inequality and discrimination for transgender women, we must question whether it is acceptable that transgender women were denied access to clinical trials based on their gender identity and trans status. She added that giving trans women wombs would help address the mental anguish they suffered by not being able to fully embrace their gender identity. Further, as studies accumulate, revealing high levels of depression and suicidality in trans women and demonstrate the emotional impact of reduced procreative ability in this population, we must consider the potential benefits of bringing uterus transplantation into trans women. The first uterus transplant in the transgender female in the 21st century is anticipated to take place within the next few years, if not sooner.
I don't want to live... this earth anymore. I just want to get off. So, please, I'm actually a bit scared to even have kids. I think I'm probably gonna have to homeschool them because time I have children, like I wonder where we will be.
Yeah,
essentially where it'll be 10 times worse. So I don't think I'll even send them into school.
No, I don't trust a state school. I don't even trust most private schools because I've seen some of the diversity and inclusion department doctrine that private schools are using, and they are not telling the fee-paying parents if their child is socially transitioning while in school. That's their safeguarding policy. Yeah, they don't tell the parents, so they are interceding between the parent and child.
The state is becoming the parent.
Well, Joe Biden's one of his education directors said that parents are not the primary stakeholder in children's education. Who is?
Exactly. Well, them, because obviously they want control. And this is the thing, sort of what comes to mind with this is like, I feel like they want us to be increasingly disconnected, because if you can force someone to have a child that's not meant to have a child, there is no way that they'll be able to sustain the same sort of connection that a mother would have with a child. And all you'll create is just legions of confused and disconnected children. And when you're confused and disconnected, funnily enough, you're easier to control. And also, I think probably bit more of a narcissist, so the cycle just continues and continues. To be honest, I can't even really laugh at this. I think it's really, really sad.
Yeah, well, this is also a tenet of the abolition of constraints on the will, because Rousseau believed in returning to the noble savage state where we're all just sort of wandering around atomized in nature.
Wasn't he a bit of a tyrant though?
Rousseau,
he we should be forced to be free.
Yeah, he believed in the general will, which was a state that provides everything, but that you were free to just consume and protected at all times and only had civil rights rather than personal rights. And because you returned into a state of nature, you had no relationships. You didn't have to commit to anyone. So nature provides, but you have no intimate ties. Sounds an awful lot like us being pod people plugged into the metaverse forever, but not actually sleeping with each other, having children, things like that.
Mm-hmm. We're all free, but... if you choose not to be free, there are consequences.
Yeah, it's the room problem. It's is the man free who never knows he's locked in the room, never wants to leave, but is locked in there and just plays computer
games.
Oh,
it's like the Plato cave analogy.
Yeah, almost exactly. So where are they getting all these whims from? We go over to Redux. Turns out an entry from the journal Theoretical Medicine and Bioethics is prompting outrage from women on social media after theorizing that the bodies of vegetative or brain-dead female patients could be utilized as whole-body gestational surrogates. The article, originally published in November 2022, is titled Whole-Body Gestational Donation and floats the concept of utilizing women's vegetative entire bodies as surrogates for prospective parents who wish to have children but cannot or prefer to gestate. Written by Anna Smajer, I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce your name right, professor of practical philosophy at the University of Oslo, Norway, the article proposes that it may be viable to utilise the donated bodies of women for gestational purposes in the same manner as donated organs are used. I suggest if we're happy to accept organ donation in general, the issues raised by the whole body gestational donation are differences of degree rather than substantive new concerns.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, isn't it? Because we do it step by step. I don't know what your view on it is, but even for me personally, I'm not sure if I want my organs used for things after I die. I just think it makes me feel uncomfortable.
It makes me feel slightly uncomfortable. I'm kind of okay if it's life-saving. I don't want anyone to take my eyes, though. That's genuinely really weird. That's one thing that can be donated, and I feel like anyone else looking out of my eyes is just concerning, especially because of the windows of the soul.
And it's been found that, particularly in one case of heart transplant, a lot of people find themselves craving the same things as the past person that was dead. It's not just an organ. You are left over.
That's really strange.
Yeah, your energy is left over. I don't want my organs.
Well, those of them are going to be 3D printed soon, so that might avert that.
All right, there's
but
a
then
solution.
It's gonna get,
for,
but
a
then
solution
it's
going
to get way worse, because then you're just going to be able to 3D print wombs if you're going to be...
Technology, eh?
Yeah. Schmader similarly theorizes that the bodies of brain-dead males could potentially be used to gestate surrogate embryos as well. So a man in a coma will have a womb transplant from either a dead woman or a woman in a coma and gestate the baby as an incubator while in the coma. So does that mean that as a man, if you're in a coma, you could be involuntarily transitioned to give birth while you're in a coma?
Sounds like it.
That's horrifying.
Criminal?
Where did this...
Can it be criminal?
God knows anymore. I mean, the Canadian government's literally killing people and they're trying to bring it over
What do these people think the body is? I mean, I know you've said that they view it as a constraint, but like...
A fleshy prison, sounds like.
A prison that can just be modified and picked apart and interesting.
Well, that's what Simone de Beauvoir believed, and that's where this has all come from. So if you subscribe to our website for £5 a month, you can watch me put Cole through 2.5 hours of The Second Sex, a 900-page book that literally says that women should enter the workforce en masse, sterilise themselves, and we should have gender communism till the whole world is depopulated.
She looks scary.
Yeah, this is called the Feminist Bible.
Right.
This is where it all came from. Like, every idea of feminism came from this one place, and it ends up in a planet without people anymore.
A planet without people.
Yeah. So she hated humanity so much that she said that we should, like, there is no biological difference between the sexes, and that all pregnancy and childbirth is against the actual nature of woman, which she defined as full independence from men, which means that you have to enter the workforce en masse, which basically means be like a man. So rebel against biology, which means having no kids. She was a deeply repressed lesbian who killed her own children. So
really?
Yeah. She had loads of abortions.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that's nice.
All philosophy is projection, and we're living in this paradigm. Brilliant. Who are the recipients going to be? I'll tell you what, we won't play the actual clip, John, just for time, but I don't know if you saw this, but this was a transgender mother of two transgender kids.
And you think that's, and people think that's normal to have a transgender mother, a transgender partner, and two transgender kids.
Yeah, the statistical likelihood of that are next to none.
There's something funny going on in that house. Obviously.
Yeah, we don't allege anything here, YouTube, but we
in my opinion,
yeah,
in my personal opinion.
We are sure this is a great, stunning and brave mother who definitely doesn't look like the slug from Monsters, Inc. On to the next one. There's also this kind of person. And the reason I chose this story that happened today is because this happened in Scotland, funnily enough.
Oh.
A transgender butcher has been charged in connection with the disappearance of an 11-year-old girl. So not all trans people are stunning and brave.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew George Miller, who is known locally as Amy, is due to appear at...
Amy. Go on.
Sacric Sheriff Court on Thursday after his arrest on Monday night. A major search operation including mountain rescue teams and police divers was launched following the disappearance of a child from Galashiels town centre on Sunday evening. After more than a day, she was discovered safe and well, with an investigation centering on a property in Gattonside, 3 miles from where she'd last been seen. Police referred to Miller, who locals said he had presented himself as a transgender female for several years, as 53-year-old Scotland man, in contrast to Nicola Sturgeon's push to introduce sex self-identification laws in Scotland. And we see here again the trans women are only women as long as they don't commit crime standard that Nicola Sturgeon has been trying to deploy with Isla Fisher.
I loved that interview that she did.
But what is to stop Isla Fisher, or this person, even in prison, from having a womb transplant? Because wouldn't it be their human right to gender-affirming care?
You wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah, kind of worrying. Seems like the public isn't having it, though, because last week, Ella Whelan went on with a member of the Scottish Parliament and decided to interrogate her on if trans women are women, and specifically if Isla Fisher was a woman. And I just thought we'd have a watch, because Callum has the thesis that basically the TERFs, I hate the term radical feminism, but people who acknowledge biology and are kind of sensible are winning in the court of public opinion. Mm. And I think the reaction of the Question Time audience, if you haven't seen this clip yet, definitely demonstrates this is the case. If we can play, please, John.
Well, Jenny says that language is very important, and I agree. And I think most people at home will have noticed that you kept saying the individual. But I mean, you have to beg the question, is Adam Graham the double rapist?
A man who now calls himself Isla
Fisher. Fine, if that's what he wants to do. A man or a woman? Because the question at hand is not whether this rapist should serve a sentence for rape. It's whether this individual is a man or a woman, and therefore which prison he or she goes into. So what is your answer? Is this individual a man or a woman?
I'm sorry, this individual is a rapist.
We know that. I want to know, is this individual a man or a woman?
The First Minister was asked this question today at First Minister's Question Time. She gave the response...
Very confusing answer.
If you'll let me speak. She gave the response that she didn't know enough about the individual in question. I would say likewise. But I think the most important thing in this case, we have to be very careful, because we trust the Scottish Prison Service to make these judgments on behalf of Scottish ministers. That is their role, that is their job. And it's also worth saying, to the point in relation to reviews, there are two reviews underway at the moment in Scotland, one in relation to the case that was previously discussed,
and that
will report tomorrow, and the second is being undertaken by the Scottish Prison Service and will report directly to Scottish ministers. It is absolutely essential. We trust the Prison Service to make these decisions
to keep
our prison population safe. I have answered the question.
No, you haven't. But can I just say, Fiona, if I can cut... the reason why...
Should we give Jenny one more chance to answer the question?
I'd love to hear your answer. Well, I really would.
This individual is a rapist. That is the most important thing.
I have to correct myself as well. I've been saying Isla Fisher the entire time. It's Isla Bryson. Isla Fisher is the actress married to Sacha Baron Cohen, which I now feel bad about. I do love how, though... So, we're meant to immediately defer to someone else's self-definition, their pronouns, of what is their authentic lived experience, their reality. But as soon as it becomes politically inexpedient to say that this rapist is a woman, we've got to defer to bureaucracy, the received wisdom of the chains, we can keep passing the buck. Or you could just say biological fact.
Or you could have just said that it's a man, which is just true. And the fact that she felt the need to use all of those words without actually saying anything just really does signify the loops that they find themselves in when they're literally, I like to phrase it, they think themselves stupid. You're thinking so much and you're trying to, you know, compartmentalize all of these different facets of what is that this is a male, a male rapist that's trying to try his luck and get into a female prison because he knows he'll probably be treated better there and probably won't get the SHIT kicked out of him.
Yeah, their pathological compassion has led them to intellectually snooker themselves.
Yeah.
And now they just look embarrassing in front of everyday audiences and to nature itself. So it looks like nature's rebelling. I thought we'd finish on this. You know the rainbow crosswalks that have been painted everywhere?
I've seen this.
Yeah, the horses really don't like going near them because...
Who would have thought? It's not very practical.
Transphobic horses, I suppose. There's actually...
Definitely.
Like,
we need to put them down.
Yeah. Well, someone got done for a hate crime, I think, because they took off at a traffic light near one of those and left a tyre mark in it, and they said they were intentionally vandalising.
Oh, that's just paranoia, isn't it?
So I wonder if any of the horses have defecated while riding down the street and they're going to be hauled up in front of a Section 127 tribunal anytime soon.
You never know in this day and age in bonkers Britain. Another thing, though, I don't know, do we have to
go for it? Yeah, of course we
do. Yeah, another thing is a lot of the sort of radical leftists like to say, you know, the problem isn't trans people. The problem is it's violent men. You know, it's men that are the problem. It's not these trans people. It's men. Look, of course, men commit more crimes against women because there's simply more men than people that identify as trans. Mm. But there's a real issue here is that if you've already got one problem that exists, why would you willingly want to create more of that problem? And when you look at the offending patterns of transgender women, they're almost identical of that of biological men. Mm. Why? Because you can put on a skirt, you can put on a wig, but it doesn't change who you are fundamentally. And that is a man. And I don't know what, you know, these people think when they think of what a woman is, but it's certainly not putting on a bit of lipstick and a skirt.
No,
it's far more than that.
You're creating a Trojan horse for sexual crimes, and the actual horses don't like it very much. So
no.
I would suggest we ask ourselves a Jurassic Park question when it comes to artificial wombs. And that is that they spent so long thinking, what can we do? They didn't consider, what should we do? I don't think making ourselves reproductive Ozymandians is a particularly bright idea. Listen to nature.
Yep. Nature knows best.
There
Mother
we go.
Earth knows best. Oh, I don't know if you believe in that.
Get off. No. I'm a Catholic. It's blasphemous. Right. Let's play the first video comment, please.
Now that the Chinese balloon migrations are a go, I was glumly wondering if it costs more to put the F-16 that shot it down in the air than it did to actually bring the balloon to the United States. If that is the case, they might as well send thousands of them over their various rival countries. I mean, most of the balloons don't even need stuff in them, just a few of them, and then try and bleed the resources out of their enemies. That's what they do, at least in a Harry Turlov novel.
Well, we are forced to pay for the F-16s anyway, so I don't think fiscal responsibility is high on the government's agenda. But yeah.
You thought so.
Yeah. Anyway, onto the website comments. Lord Nerevar, hey Connor, I love how you're slowly making it a tradition to torture Dominique with the worst, most effed up things you can possibly find whenever she's on the show. Brain dead women being used as incubators for fetuses to foreign to them, give the poor woman a break.
I know, he's traumatising me.
Well, you've got a long day later arguing with Amy Nikkel as well, so I think you're going to need some drinks and a painkiller
when
you get home.
That means I love Amy, I'll just put that out there.
Yeah, she's not fond of me.
she really isn't.
I wouldn't mind, I didn't even know her. So on to the Grammys segment. Very brave of Madonna to mock Christianity. Now try Islam. Also, I think it's just a matter of time before she starts an OnlyFans just to stay relevant. Call it Only Grant.
Only Grant. I love that.
Charlie. There is something to be said for growing old gracefully, particularly when I think one of the more grotesque features of Madonna is that she is surgically altering herself to try and hang on to the illusion of fertility and beauty when she's well past her sell-by date. And
Connor?
Well,
sell-by date?
Well, look, let's put it this way, right? She was hardly a sought-after, very motherly prospect when she was younger, sleeping with whole football teams and making songs about Christianity into being about blowjobs.
Oh, right, yeah.
And,
when I get on my knees, it's not...
I want to take you there. Yeah, yeah. There's an old Norm MacDonald joke about having her baby boy, and he read out the weight. It was like, he's been born at 10 ounces, making it the third largest object to pass through McDonald's birth canal this year.
Oh, wow.
Oof. So
edgy.
Yeah. So I think there is something to be said with not mutilating yourself to permanently hold on to the youth and beauty you once had. Instead, manifest some virtue and make sure you're surrounded by a little community rather than the sycophants online.
Because she'd be so much more respected and appreciated. But now she's just turning into a human cat. She looks like a cat.
Yeah. Have you seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, I've not. I've heard of it. I probably have seen it, but...
It's okay, but I was going to reference a woman named Maureen Ponderosa, who's just a nutcase trying to marry one of the psychopath characters. She actually turns herself into a cat. But there we go.
Ooh,
it's
going to
go straight over your head. Alpha the Betas. The mockery of Christianity is a weapon for the demoralization of Western society. Celebrities never mock Islam, partially because there'd be a reaction, but more specifically because it would be pointless. Islamic immigration is utilized as a weapon to fracture the West. Mm. You don't want to mock another quither in your demoralization bow. Yeah, this has been my long-standing belief, particularly with Beauvoir on that, is that, that the postmodernists, the fact that it doesn't make sense is fine, because they both say that logic is oppression, but also it's not because it's meant to make sense. It's not because they're trying to build something. It's just to make you nihilistic enough and doubt yourself so they can smuggle their socialist ideology in by the back door.
Ah, the art of confusion.
Exactly. Yeah. Keeps you on your toes permanently. Lord Nerevar, I get what you mean about these big gala shows always feeling very satanic in nature, and that's because they are to a certain extent. However, I'm not sure it's quite the evil it may seem. As far as I see it, this sort of trend looks like just that, a trend, something that these slimy elites will use to be all edgy and rebellious against some sort of perceived Christian hegemony in society, although nothing like that has existed for decades. That said, I wouldn't be too surprised to be proven wrong on this. There's certainly room for it. I think that they're blatantly celebrating it too much.
Yeah, and a lot of these award shows are just ways for them to come together and do all of this sort of stuff. I mean, some people say the after parties are something else entirely.
Yeah.
So
we're on the website now, by the way. So yeah, it's just some sort of like demon sacrifice orgy, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm just personally not convinced, because I don't believe anything is just a coincidence. I think the idea that everything's just a coincidence is deliberately designed to stop us from viewing and accepting what is right before our eyes, which is that they are celebrating something that is just evil.
And they also know that lots of kids are going to be watching the Grammys.
Exactly. And this is the thing that really bothers me when people say, oh, it's just expression.
Yeah, don't watch it if you don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, so what do you think of children being able to view Sam Smith's video where he's simulating golden showers and acting out doing someone from behind?
Yeah.
Are you okay with children viewing that? It's not just art. It's disgusting.
Yep.
And it's grotesque. And, you know, I'm probably going to be a tyrant parent, but I don't want any of my kids viewing any of this stuff.
No.
Like, it genuinely...
Cole has confiscated smartphones, and I think that's
I agree. I'm not surprised. I don't want them anywhere near a screen when you've got freaks like Sam Smith doing that. And it's free for them to watch. It's free for them to view. You can go and look at Lil Nas X twerking on the devil.
have you seen the YouTube Kids stuff in the last few years? So there was the ElsaGate scandal where there was AI-generated cartoons that was sourcing stuff from the internet that was popular. And for the first minute or so, it would get recommended on YouTube Kids because it was perfectly fine. And then eventually Hitler would be doing Tai Chi with the Hulk, and Spider-Man would be doing drugs, and they'd all be shooting each other and swearing. And so kids were just watching this on auto-shuffle. And then recently, there was a PragerU journalist, Josh, reported on this for our website, that made a YouTube Kids account, and one of the first recommendations they got were, kid talks to a gender non-conforming person.
Oh.
Kid learns about consent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fastest way to program and to brainwash is through things like that. Same with TikTok as well. I will not go near
you just ban that Chinese
spyware. Demon app.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. Ron Swansea, can we keep the satanic imagery to metal, please? We actually make it sound good, and I know it's all tongue-in-cheek.
I used to be a massive metal person.
You know, I wasn't going to bring it up when you said music taste. I have seen a photo of you in your teenage years.
How have you seen that? Emo.
I think you posted it a while ago. What was it? My Chemical Romance fan or something?
Oh, God, no. I was like proper like into Slipknot, like proper like
right,
heavy
okay.
metal. But, you know, I was really depressed when I was properly into it. I went full on. I went from like a goth where I was like, it was in primary school that I decided, actually. I went from a goth and then I went from an emo. And then when I was an emo, I was genuinely like depressed. And have you heard of Kerrang magazine? I used to, it's like a rock magazine.
Right.
And I used to just pin it all up on my walls. And my mum took it all down because she said that it was evil, basically. It was scary. It was really, really scary. And yeah. I wasn't in a good place mentally.
Yeah, you were manifesting a worse place.
Yeah, so it aided that because the lyrics are really angry, violent and negative. And sorry if I offend anyone, but they are. That being said, I still like rock music, but you know, you have to understand that a lot of the same messages exist, whether it's rock, heavy metal or pop. Basically.
There we go. Karen M, our cities are falling to slums and our roads are crumbling. Inflation is at a historic high. Real wage growth is negative. Taxes are rising. We're being flooded with illegal aliens, creating mountains of debt because our government has no grasp on economics. And yet we're showering the most corrupt country in all of Europe in donations, while the seals are clapping like some mad one at the most incendiary, divisive demagogues the world has ever seen. The solution, according to polls, is to vote Labour. Is our nation really that brain damaged?
Yes.
I think they said it better than we could, to be honest.
Yeah, we are, though. And I love the British people as sort of an idea, but at the same time, if you really think the solution is Labour, you really don't understand the problem.
Yeah, well, what was the name? Starmer went to Davos recently and said that he prefers Davos to Westminster.
And I wonder why he prefers Davos, because they're all his mates. He sits on this council, I forgot what it is, and it's like this shadowy council. Oh, the Trilateral Commission.
Right.
Guys, look it up, the Trilateral Commission. It's, you know, the Rockefellers,
other
figures.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all a part of it. Starmer is very, very deeply ingrained. No wonder he loves Davos so much. He's probably in heaven, genuinely.
Well, the interesting thing was that the recent Bilderberg meeting, there was David Lammy, Tom Tugendhat, and...
Ooh, warmonger-in-chief. He's another one.
Yeah, exactly. And Ida Auken, who was the Danish Environment Minister that wrote the Welcome to 2030, You Will Have Nothing and No Privacy and Be Happy article.
Oh, right.
So they're all palling around.
Yeah, King Charles was there as well.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me. Yeah. He literally has the Great Reset agenda on the website.
And that's why I'm sort of becoming anti-monarchy.
I'm not anti-monarchy. I just don't particularly trust the fella that's sitting on the throne right now.
I guess, but the idea that we should pledge allegiance to this person that is genuinely seems invested in the destruction of his own country, it doesn't sit right.
Yeah,
with me.
It doesn't fill me with much enthusiasm. Let's do one last one then. America's in hospice care. Leftists, the right wing trads and misogynists want to turn women into handmaidens by banning abortion. Also leftists, hey, let's take all the women, put them in a coma and put them on life support and turn them into handmaidens, basically, because mentally ill men masquerading as women need to have babies too.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, there was once an interpretation of Frankenstein as being deeply misogynistic because he's trying to destroy women and take them out of the reproductive system.
Oh, I remember you said that.
And it turns out that they just thought it was a handbook. So there we go. Dominique, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Dominique Tagan, and you can find me on Instagram, Dominique T. Samuels. I'm assuming you all know how to spell my name.
Yep, there we go. We'll tweet it out afterwards, of course. And then just a reminder, at 3:30, Carl and Callum will be going through our cyberpunk dystopia. So if you weren't terrified enough by the last segment, here's another dose of Black Mirror Black Pills, I suppose. Dominique, absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back on air from 1:00 tomorrow. Until then, thank you and goodbye.